And by the way, for anybody who's interested, we did do a Facebook Live on the memorial service for Hagin yesterday. So it's online there if anybody would like to see it. If you weren't able to see it, you weren't able to be here, you might appreciate that. You know, from the start of this series of messages, I've reminded all of the people who have heard the messages that our Lord said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's an absolute. There's not a you could or you should or you might or it's a you will. He said you will. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. And it's written by John, the beloved disciple. Now this, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Those who say I know him and do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. That's what John said. John was the one that was reclining right next to Jesus, laid his head on his chest as they were eating, as recorded in the scriptures. God has always instructed his people to obey him. Always. He's always instructed obedience. He wants obedience. This is what blesses him. And he lists blessings that he gives to his people who are obedient. Not only that, he lists curses in his word for those who disobey him. You can read Deuteronomy chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 28 to find those blessings and curses. God shows mercy to those who love him and keep his commandments. That's what his word says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6. But those who disobey him bring chastisement and his wrath. Now, we don't want anybody to be chastised. But, you know, the Lord's word tells us that he chastises those whom he loves. And if you're getting away with something and you're not being chastised, you better check your condition, because your relationship isn't too tight if he lets you get away with it. Whatever it is, you know. You know if you're sinning. You know, because the Holy Spirit's going to prompt you. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you. The Holy Spirit's going to warn you. You've got to be careful. We looked at the levels of sin. You see that there's a level that's the end level. You can't come back from it. It's the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. We don't want anybody to be there. Do you know God gave all authority to the one that we call Jesus? God is almighty. And his authority has been delegated to Christ. So Christ's authority is the Father's authority. And that means that all believers are called to obey him. If you love me, obey my commandments. You will obey my commandments. And he said many times in many ways about obedience and obeying him, because he was teaching the Father's will. And as I've said before, we can believe that we do obey his commandments. But we have to know what they are to know whether or not we're obeying them. And so we've got to cover some things. And I'm not going to look at everything in this series of messages, because we could go on for months in what Jesus taught. We could go on for months upon months on the things that Jesus said that people aren't doing. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and you will keep my commandments. Today we're going to see some ways that people are guilty of refusing to obey him. We're going to see ways that people say no to our Lord. But more importantly, as I've said in previous messages in this series, we're going to see ways that we can say yes. It's important to say yes. And one of those ways is in our giving. As I was speaking with John down in the kitchen this morning as we were preparing for the service, I said, you know, I don't think I've ever given a message on giving. I don't think I've ever delivered a message just on giving. When it was relevant to the topic, I would share information or texts about giving. But I've never done a message on giving. It's not when it's popular, because people, as John reminded me, will say, well, all the church wants is money. Well, no, that's not true. But, you know, the lights and the fans and the air conditioner and the heat in the wintertime and all the maintenance on the building, all of that costs money. And if that's not worth something to anybody, well, that's fine. You got to deal with God, because God's the one who says to give. Some argue adamantly. You know, and this has become a hotly debated topic these days. There's people that argue adamantly that the tithe went out with the Old Testament. The tithe went out with Jesus coming to the earth. It's an Old Testament concept. It was used to support the Levites, who were the workers. They were the ones whose lives were dedicated to working in the temple. They served the Lord. They relied upon God's people to support them. They didn't have a job. They worked to support the work of the Lord. That's all they did. That was their job. They were dedicated to serving God and His people. And the argument against proportional giving is weakened by the fact that Abram tithed to Melchizedek, the priest of Almighty God. He was the king of Salem, and he was the priest of Almighty God. That's how the Scripture defines him. And this was long before the law was given to Moses. And so those who argue, well, that's a thing of the law, and we're no longer under the law, so we don't have to give anymore. Those who argue that are mistaken. They're mistaken because Abram tithed to Melchizedek long before Moses received the law. And it's also weakened, that argument is weakened by what Jesus said about tithing, and that's what we're going to look at today. Others advocate for tithing today because God's servants dedicate their lives to serving God much the way that the Levites did. And there are people that understand, for folks like yours truly and others who serve dedicated in ministry, that the support of the minister is important. The Bible supports proportional giving in several New Testament texts. We're not going to look at them all today. And the one that we call Jesus did not directly command tithing. And this is where people get this argument. Well, we don't have to tithe because Jesus didn't command it. But He did say it was appropriate, and we're about to see that. So I want you to open your Bible to the 11th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 11, and I believe you're going to find that on page 1606. Luke chapter 11, page 1606 there in the Bible in your seats there. We're going to begin at verse 37, and we will read through verse 42. Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 37. But before we read, I want to pray. So I want to be absolutely clear that it's God that's speaking and not me. Father, I lift myself up to You, and I ask that You would give me unction to preach. Give me unction to speak, Lord. Let me bring nothing out of Your Word, nothing out of my mouth, Lord, that is not of You. Help me to speak clearly and articulately, that those who hear this message, either in this room or online, Lord, by whatever means that we share it there, that they would recognize the truth of Your Word, Lord. And I pray this in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 37, and I want you to hear what's written there. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. I'm in the wrong place. Excuse me. Forgive me. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he, Jesus, had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done, without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like the graves that are not seen. The men who walk over them are not aware of them. One of the lawyers answered and said to him, Teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. I pray that God would add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. I read a little further, I guess under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So our text opens up with Jesus being invited. Now he was preaching, okay? And while he's teaching, this religious leader came to him and says, "Hey, bud, why don't you come over to my place and we'll have a bite to eat?" So Jesus went, he visited with the guy, sat down to eat, but Jesus didn't wash his hands first, okay? He didn't wash up. And this shocked and somewhat offended that Pharisee who commented about it. "Hey, you didn't wash up. What's up with that?" And Jesus says, okay, he's this man's guest. Think about this for a moment. Let me back up for a moment. He's the guy's guest, okay? And what he says to him would just floor people today. Somebody invites you over to have a meal. Think about this, okay? He's a religious leader, and he invites our Lord to visit with him to have a meal. And he sits down to eat, doesn't wash his hands, and the guy comments about it. What's Jesus do? "Oh, yeah, you're right. I got to go wash my hands." No. What he did was he criticized the guy. He says, "Oh, wait a minute. You're all clean on the outside." He said, "But on the inside, you're full of wickedness." Now, how did he get that? Well, because he knew the Pharisees. He knew them. To the core of their being, he knew that they were greedy. They were selfish. And when he gets into that part about the tithing, okay, he says, he points out the vile condition of the man's soul, and then he tells him, cleaning the outside is less important than cleaning the inside. And then we hear him instruct this religious leader to give alms of such things as you have. And I got to thinking about that word alms. Well, I know what it means, but I couldn't define it. I couldn't say for you all what alms were. It's compassionate giving. Compassionate giving. It's not compulsive giving. You're not compelled to give except by love. You give to the needs of others. That's why we had a fund here where we would collect money on a monthly basis, and if somebody amongst us needed help or somebody outside of our congregation needed help, we would have something to be able to share with them collectively so the burden didn't fall on one of us. We'd all put into that so that somebody could receive. Our Lord repeatedly taught it's more blessed to give than to receive, and as he continues, he pronounces woe on the Pharisee. "Woe to you! Woe to you! You're getting it wrong," he said. "You think because you tithe on mint and rue, on these little things, that you're doing it right." He said, "You should do that. You ought to tithe and on even the least that you receive." And, you know, I recently had somebody give me some herbs from their garden. And they said, "You know, the Lord led me to give this to you. The first fruits, a piece of what God is producing in their garden." And I thought, you know, this is a few weeks ago, and I thought, you know, this would be a good topic for a message. Because I've never taught on finances, bro. I don't teach on money. I don't say, "Hey, you should give because the Bible says you should give." And most of the people in the congregation here have at least learned that concept somewhere along the line, and God tells us, "Try me. See if you cannot give me." I'll tell you, you can't. I'll pour out a blessing from heaven. And we'll get into that text a little while later. He said, "These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." He told them tithing ought to be done. This is Jesus, the one we call Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah of God, who said you should, you ought to give. And as I said, there are people today who say, "No, we don't have to give. We're not under the law." Well, first of all, Abram was not under the law either, and he gave to Melchizedek. And secondly, Jesus said you ought to give. I'm going with what Jesus said. I ought to give. And so ought all of you, as the Lord prospers you. You know, it's not a big deal, because you can't outgive God. None of us can outgive God. You know, he said, don't ignore justice and the love of God. And, you know, tithing, giving, let's not use the word tithing. I'm going to get to, like, what is tithing? But giving is just. Giving is right in the eyes of God. And God sees your giving heart, and he says, "Hey, let me give them some more so they can give some more." And the more that we get in our hands, the more that we put out, it's like God just keeps filling our hands. And we keep putting it out, and God keeps filling our hands, and we keep putting it out, and God keeps filling our hands, and we cannot outgive him. There's no way. He's the creator. He creates and he makes those opportunities for the end to come so that you can put it out. First duty is to support where you are worshiping. That's your first duty. And then you have offerings you can give out elsewhere. But let's just get back to this for a moment. Anytime we refuse to give a portion of what we produce, we're like obstinate children. We say no to Jesus. No, somebody told me I don't have to give, so I'm not going to. Well, he said you ought to. Okay? That's what he said. And by not giving, we say no to Jesus. We tell him he's wrong. We don't have to give because after all, so-and-so said, or this teacher said, or that Bible scholar said, but Jesus said, you ought to. I'm sticking with what he said. And I have all of my life, not always consistently. And I've seen times of lack, times of leanness. And Chris would look at me and say, how can we give? And I said, well, we can't afford not to. We cannot afford not to give. Because as we hold back, it quits coming in. It gets worse, not better. And as we give proportionally to what God has given to us, we give proportionally out of that, he fills up the cup. It's like the widow whenever she was ready to make her last meal and she said, me and my son are just going to go and die after this. And the prophet said to her, no, you just go make me a cake first. And then he said, there'll be plenty for you. She's thinking, okay, I'll do it, but I'm not too sure it's going to work that way. Well, don't you know, the oil and the wine, everything that she had was replenished continuously. It never ran out. And this is the concept of giving in God's kingdom. We can't outgive God, folks. I am a living testimony to that. And I know it's hard for you to recognize when you say, well, I've only got 10 bucks. The Lord said, well, give me one and see what I do with it for you. It really is that simple. It's that simple. And by refusing to give sufficiently to support his workers, we say it's wrong to take care of those who devote their lives to the ministry. We're saying it's wrong to take care of those who devote their lives to serving God. We say no, it's not an act of love to our Creator. He says it is, but we say it isn't when we don't give. That's the fact. And again, I'm not one to preach on money, folks. I don't think anybody could ever say, well, yeah, Pastor John, he did a whole series of messages on giving. No, not happened. But Jesus said you ought to give. And so I say, I've got to teach what he taught. And it's an uncomfortable subject for me, always has been, because of that whole idea in society. It says, oh, the church just wants your money. No, the church doesn't want your money. The church wants you to be blessed. The church wants you to give and realize that you can't outgive God. When you take that word tithing, I said, tithing? Tithing? What is tithing? I've been asked this question many times. Didn't that go out with the Old Testament? That's what my preacher said. Tithing went out with the Old Testament. Or that's what this bigwig said or that bigwig said. Simply stated, the tithe is a payment of a tenth part. That's the definition. A tenth part, one-tenth, 10%. 10%. You get $10, you give a dollar. You get 10 cents, you give a penny. That's what tithing is. And it's simple. Tithing's 10% of the increase that God provides to us. Whatever God provides to us, we give 10%. Now, there are those who argue the difference between whether you tithe on the gross or you tithe on the net. It doesn't matter to me how you do it. You got to take it up with God. I'm not going to tell you which way. I know what I do because I know what he's led me to do. At first, tithing was 10% of everything produced. It didn't matter if it was animals, grain, oil, wine, herbs, whatever. And the total giving, though, and here's what's interesting when you search out the scriptures, the total giving was more than 10%. It was often more than 20% because they were taking care of. It was tithes and offerings, two separate categories of giving. And then as silver and gold became mediums of exchange, those items were used to give the tithe, to give the percentage. These days, we give of our increase in paper notes, like those Federal Reserve notes that we use as mediums of exchange. As I stated earlier, the first recorded instance of tithing is seen when Melchizedek received from Abram the tithe. That's long before Moses received the commandments of God on Mount Sinai for the people of Israel. Just look in Leviticus chapter 27 when that happened. And that was, Moses got the law after Abram. It's recorded that Abram tithed to Melchizedek. Giving's not just a part of the law. It's a concept that reveals God's divine way of taking care of His servants. It's His way. Do we want to say no to Him? Or do we want to say yes, Lord? I give. And I've had people that have tithed, and they recognize that concept is a biblical concept. And I don't care what you call it. It's proportional giving. You give a piece of what God has given to you. He gives you 100%, and He asks you to give a piece back. It's clear. The Scriptures are absolutely clear about this, and when those people muddy it up by these other concepts and other doctrines that men have made up, I just say, you know what, I don't want anyone to hear that. I'm going to go with what Jesus said. You ought to. Jesus said you ought to. Now, did He say you ought to until I die? Did He say you ought to until I hang on the cross? Did He say you ought to until I'm off the planet? Did He say you ought to until I ascend? No. He said you ought to. Simple. To me. To me. And remember, God changes not. That's what He says. Hear what's written in Malachi chapter 3. For I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet, from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. You feel like God's far away? Return to Him. And He'll return to you. That's what He says. Now, but you said, in what way shall we return? I'm not away from God. How will I return? This is what they were saying. And then he asked the question, will a man or a woman, it's not just for men here, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Rob? Wait a minute. They went away from God? They robbed Him? That's what he says. But you say, he continues, in what way have we robbed you? How have we robbed you, God? What do you mean we're away from you? How have we robbed you? And he gives a clear answer. Very clear. There's no ambiguity here. He says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Tithes and offerings. If we want the blessing of the Lord to fall upon us, we simply need to obey His word. He says, come back to me. You've left. You've gone away from my ordinances and haven't kept them. And there are many today who would say, well, that's then. That's not for now. I don't know. I'm sticking with His word. That's all I know. It's all I know, folks. It's written in Numbers chapter 18, verse 21. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. The tithe is to support those who work in the ministry. That's what's clearly written in the Scripture, okay? And Numbers 18:26 repeats this idea. And then it instructs. It gives an instruction. And who's the instruction for? Yours truly and others who serve in the ministry. Because it says that you who receive the tithe are to give a tenth of the tithe as an offering to the Lord. And so my tithe would go as an offering to the Lord, to His work. So I would take, it wouldn't come to me. It would go into the plate or where, however we would receive it, and it would go to the Lord for His work. That's what the Word says. Now, these people come up with these convoluted ideas about giving. Well, you know, I can't because, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, well, I can't give. You know, I only get. Well, if you want to get more, give more. I've seen that to be true in my life. That's the way it works. That's God's principle. It's not mine. I didn't make it up. He did. It's His way. Yours truly is instructed to give to the Lord's work just like everybody else. The minister isn't exempt. It's a matter of the heart, folks. It really is a matter of the heart. Do you have faith and trust that God will replace not only what you gave, but what He promises? Do you trust that He will keep His word? Because He says, try me. And let's look at this, okay? We find clear instructions for giving for believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. We're to give as God has prospered us, no matter which way God prospers us. It's not, well, I don't have to tithe on that. Well, after all, no. Well, how He prospers us is how we give. We give from what He prospers us on. We're to offer a portion. We are to offer a portion to God's work for poor believers and those who labor in His word. And there are those who say, well, you know, we have social programs now that take care of the poor people. Yeah, well, that doesn't excuse us from helping. It just doesn't. I'm sorry, but no, I'm not sorry. I've got to stick with the word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it's written, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And you'll hear me say that from time to time. You know, when we are about to receive an offering, I'll say, God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give because you feel like you have to. If you feel like you have to, don't give at all. Don't. I'd just assume you didn't. And I think God would too. He doesn't want your grudge to be attached to that. It's supposed to be a free will offering. It's supposed to be a free will giving. And whenever the Lord leads me to give, and He does, whether it's in to this place in one way or another or somewhere else, and He does, I don't, oh, come on, God, I got to pull that out of my pocket. No. It's like, here you go. It's that easy. And when you get accustomed to giving as God's word teaches, it gets easier. It doesn't get harder because you start to see how God keeps His promises. He says, try me. See if you can outgive me. See if you can give me more than I can give you. And none of us can. We don't have the ability to outgive God. You know, I had a pastor once, Chris and I, when I was running from the Lord, I wasn't preaching. He was trying to get me to preach. He was trying to get me to go to seminary. I thank God I didn't, but he would always say, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. That was one of his favorite sayings, and he knew it. He gave the Lord his life, and as far as I know, he's about to celebrate, or maybe he has celebrated his 90th birthday. Can't outgive God. You can't. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. It's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things. Wait, did you hear that? All sufficiency in all things? You have nothing to worry about. When you give to the Lord, He will make sure you have sufficient to meet your needs. He will. He will. But you know what happens? Some people, they want to say, well, wait a minute now, I need, and just add whatever after that. I need. I had to take care of. I have to do. You're not trusting God. He will meet your needs. He'll meet your needs from His riches in glory. You know, you read the scripture, it says that the Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We forget He owns the hills too. And He owns all the riches in those hills, the gold, the silver, the copper, the whatever. He owns all the gems that have yet to be discovered. He owns all the riches. And if we think for a moment, because our little meager income to us is barely enough for us to get by on, that we can't give from that, we're sorely mistaken. That we're not serving the God of the Bible, because He is the God that gives. He's not going to take. He's just looking for faithfulness. That's what He wants. He just wants us to be faithful. And He will show us, He rewards faithfulness. It's never a way away from that. There's not a way out of that. We are to let the Holy Spirit guide us for our giving. If you don't want to call it a tithe, don't call it a tithe. Make sure that you recognize that that's a relationship between you and Almighty God. And don't say no to Him. Don't say no. Say yes. The attitude of our heart is important to God. We're to give cheerfully, not forcefully, not resentfully. I don't resent giving. I enjoy it. You can't go wrong in giving to God's work. We don't give to get either. We don't give to get noticed. You know, there was a place where Chris and I worshiped for a while. They had a thing where their ritual was that for everybody who gave, they had to walk up. Like, I'd say, okay, it's time for us to give now. And those who were giving had to get up and walk forward and put it in the collection in front of everybody else. And what did that do? Wow, some people were motivated by that. Yeah, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get to be seen. I'll show people I give. And other people were shrinking down in their seats. Not right. We're not given to be seen. We're not given to be noticed. We're not given to get. And it's not for spiritual reward. Give out of our love of God to support His work and those who are dedicated to it. Dedicated. I'm not talking bivocational. Somebody's got a good job and they're also serving as a preacher. That's different. Somebody who has given up their life to serve the Lord. We show the Lord our appreciation by giving sufficiently to meet the needs of that individual or those individuals in some cases. Honor the Lord with your possessions, it's written in Proverbs chapter 3, and with all the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with all the first fruits of your increase, and you will be blessed. That's what the Word says. You can't get away from it. None of us can. And I'm sure there's people that would criticize me for preaching a message like this. I don't have any doubt about that. But I'll tell you what, I look at the Word of God, I see what it says, and I say, okay, I'm going to do what it says. I'm going to give as the Lord says to give, proportionally. And when He says to give more, I give more. I was, wait a minute, Lord, I hit my 10% now. I'm not going to give any more. No. He said, well, here's a need over here. How about you take care of that, Johnny? I say, yes, Lord. Send me. And you know what happens? He pours out a bounty from heaven. He does. Always. Honor the Lord with your possessions. The seventh chapter of Hebrews discusses tithing to the priests, and it mentions Abraham's tithe to Melchizedek, just in case somebody thought it wasn't a New Testament concept. It's written right there in chapter 7 of Hebrews. It says, Christ is a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Christ is a priest in the order of Melchizedek. And so when we give in the New Testament period, we're giving unto the Lord. Christ's the recipient of our giving when we support His work and those who do it. He said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. That's what He said. Matthew chapter 25 is where you find that written. And He said, render to God the things that are God's. That's Matthew chapter 22, verse 21, the second part of verse 21. Render to God the things that are God's. Now, if Christ is the priest, the high priest in the order of Melchizedek, and Abram, the father of modern Judaism and Christianity, gave at the very start, do you think that we're somehow excused from giving? We're not, folks. We are not. And I do hope that the Holy Spirit is pricking your heart. I really hope that you recognize where you have erred and you get it right and you quit saying no to your Creator. As I wrap this up, I want you to remember, all of us are to give, not just you, me too. Say yes to Jesus and be blessed through obedience by giving. Give to the furthering of what He taught. And receive those blessings. You don't give to get the blessings, but you will be blessed when you give. I affirm by Almighty God, you will be blessed Read chapter 11 and chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. Read those for yourself and read them again and read them again till you get it, till you really understand it's God that gives the blessings and it's God that gives the curses. And we don't like to talk about the curses these days. We just want to hear about the blessings. We just want to pour out the blessings. Pour out your blessings on us, Father. And He will. If you obey His word. Don't say no. Say yes. Saying yes to giving proportionally doesn't get you into heaven. No, it's not going to get you into heaven, folks. You can't buy your way in, okay? It's not like buying a ticket. Well, I got my ticket. Look, I got a stack of tickets. I give every week. No. That's not how it works. But it's evidence that you're on your way. It shows that your heart is right. That Christ has come into you. That you have been born again. That you are being renewed and transformed. Say yes. And set aside the fear of financial problems in this life. It's too easy for us to be afraid, folks. And that fear does not come from God. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. That's what His Word says. We're not given a spirit of fear from God. No. That's not where it comes from. That comes from the enemy. God said, try Him in this. See if He doesn't pour out blessings upon you. That is His Word. And I forgot to put the quote where it came from, but I got it right out of His Word. Try Him in this. See if He doesn't pour out blessings upon you. Try Him in this. Try. Say yes by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide your giving. When the Spirit says, okay, you got $25 in your pocket, John, pull that 20 out and put it in the plate. You know what I say? No, Lord, I can't do that. I only got 25 bucks. That's got to hold me all week. No. I take the 20 out. And I'm talking, folks, I'm talking from experience, okay? I know. And you know what happens? An unexpected blessing shows up. God says, you're 20. That was nothing. Here's 100. Now give me half of that. Oh, no problem, Lord. Here you go. And then that 100 turns into 1,000. And He says, give, and you will be given. It'll be pressed down. You won't be able to handle it all. That's what He says. Help the message of everlasting life go forward here and beyond here. You can help by simply giving. By giving. Proportionally. Because all of us are to give. Help that message to go forward. Say yes to God's Messiah. No holds barred. No more resistance. No more saying no to Jesus. Say yes. Because He said you ought to give. He said it's right to give. Say yes to Jesus. Hear what He has to say. And be doers of the Word, not just hearers. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that we can't outgive You. We thank You, Lord, that Your Word makes it clear that You will pour out blessings from heaven upon us as we give. Help us to give proportionally, Lord. Help us to give as it is that You would have us to give, Lord. Not from our stingy hearts that want more for us than we do for You. Help us to put aside things that we don't need, Lord, that we would be able to give proportionally. Help us to quit those things, Lord, that perhaps are displeasing You and stopping us from giving. Help us, Father, to live our lives for You, I pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, Rosalie, I did have that other hymn picked out, number 393. I don't know if you know it. It's Take My Life and Let It Be. If you don't, that's okay. You don't have to play along. We'll just sing it a cappella. Number 393. If y'all could just open your hymnals to number 393, we'll sing that, and then we'll receive an offering.